Inside Chicago Government. ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Glowatz. Ben writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader. He's here with me today looking very animated. Today we're talking about your article that appeared in a Reader on July 3rd, 2014, my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
It was. Co-written with Mick Dumke.
The great Mick Dumke.
titled, Does Rahm Have a Challenger Who Can Win? In this article, you and Mick describe how an election campaign might shake out if Mayor Rahm Emanuel is challenged by each of two undeclared and one declared candidates for mayor in the 2015 election.
Mm-hmm.
One of the potential undeclared challengers you describe is Second Ward Alderman Bob Fioretti.
Robert Fioretti, correct, sir.
First, let's talk about what might happen if Fioretti decides not to run for mayor but run for city council.
Well,
let's talk about the second ward that he currently represents. The boundaries of the existing ward are mostly east of Sacramento and south of Madison, including much of the South Loop. But due to the redistricting that took place after the most recent census, the new second ward boundaries are north of Chicago Avenue and east of Western Avenue, which includes much of Streeterville. And the new ward is one of the most twisted and convoluted in this city.
Mm-hmm.
So unlike other aldermen who want to run for re-election, if Fioretti wanted to run in the new second ward, he would have to campaign in an area where none of the constituents have any experience with him. Also, there's already a declared candidate for second ward alderman by the name of Brian Hopkins.
Okay.
Hopkins is a longtime staffer for Cook County Board Commissioner John Daly, who is brother of former Mayor Richard Daly. So we could infer what kind of support his campaign would get.
Okay. That's what we need more of, more Daly's running things.
Additionally, according to election law, Fioretti could run in any of the new wards that overlap the old second ward.
Oh, it's so confusing.
And looking at the old ward map.
Okay. The old map.
Which I happen to have
old,
here.
Like within a year of being,
depending on who you talk to.
Yeah.
Still in force.
Mm-hmm.
It appears to me that he could run in wards 4, 11, 25, 27, or 42.
That is correct.
So given all that, any comments on the possibility of Fioretti running for city council?
I've not talked to the illustrious alderman of the second ward, Robert Fioretti, in a while. He's one of my favorite aldermen. From my last few conversations with him, it's obvious that he's seriously looking at running for mayor, trying to see how much money he can raise, how much money it would cost, who else would be in the race, whether other candidates being in the race would help or hinder him. We'll get into this. For Fioretti, the calculations are the same as for any potential challenger. If more than one run, you're really hoping for a runoff. Once again, Chicagoans, we have a runoff system. It's really hard for you to understand that I understand, but we have a runoff system where the two top vote getters go off against each other if no one gets more than 50%. That's the big key. So what Fioretti has to ascertain as best he can is whether if four people run against Mayor Rahm, can they keep Mayor Rahm under 50%? And if so, can he be the number two person? If he believes that he can do that, he'll probably run for mayor. If he decides that he can't do that, he'll take a look at one of these wards and figure out which is the best one for him to run in, and he'll run there. Or he could just retire.
If you were Bob Fioretti and you decided you wanted to stay in the city council, which ward would you choose to run in?
Can I see the list again? Wow. Jeez. 4th, 11th, 25th, 27th. The third is not on here? Are you sure the third should be on here?
Could be.
Yes. I would say his best bet is run the third against Pat Dahl. The third ward is much of the South Loop, where our favorite development, the DePaul Basketball Arena, is going. And Fioretti represented that ward for that district, that area, I should say, for years. Boy, and the 11th would be really... I wouldn't run in the 11th. I'd be up going up against the Daily Machine.
Wait, why not the 11th?
That's John Daly, and that would be very difficult to beat the Daly Machine in the 11th Ward. It's Bridgeport, you know, the old...
The incumbent being?
Balser, who I presume would run again. Can you believe I just, like, know these aldermen?
He doesn't have a cheat sheet.
For 10 trivia points, who was the alderman before Jim Balser?
Unknown to me.
Pat Hewels. Who was the alderman before Pat Hewels?
What do I win if I get this?
A new bicycle.
I need a new bicycle.
Actually, I'm not sure about this. I believe it was Michael Bolandic, but don't quote me. So the 25th is Danny Solis. Wow, that would be a lot of fun. Okay.
Why?
Danny Solis versus Bob Fioretti. Two very savvy Chicago politicians with a lot of money who really understand how the city works, who aren't afraid to mix it up, who would probably... It would be like an even battle, I would say.
So would it be a campaign over issues or a campaign over personalities? When you
issues?
Say a lot of fun.
Issues?
That's like
what are issues?
We're not going to go there, right?
I have issues. It would be largely, in my humble opinion, a campaign over, I guess we'd call it personalities. An issue at stake would be, would voters want an alderman who works with mayors, no matter who the mayor is, regardless of what the mayor's policy, or do you want to reward an alderman who for at least the last 4 years has been a maverick? And then there's the issue of ethnicity. The 25th is supposed to be Hispanic ward, although the Hispanic population has been falling due to redistricting. It includes Chinatown and the area around UIC. I don't think he'll run there. I'm going on and on and on about this. 27th against Walter Burnett, there'll be a West Side fight. That would be an interesting one. I believe he's currently, his home is in the 27th. I think his home is in the 27th. That would be an interesting battle. I don't think he'll do that.
It seems to me Burnett is a pretty strong base, so that would be also be a very tough one.
That would be tough too, but I think Fioretti would have a chance in that one. He's, and the 42nd, I don't think he'll do that. That's the downtown area. And
Brendan Riley.
That'd be, the most expensive aldermanic race in the history of man. Although, if Fioretti ran in the 42nd, he could run a very strong anti-ROM campaign on parking meters and, fines and fees and the fact that the 42nd Ward should have an alderman who's not afraid to stand up to the mayor, that kind of thing. So, listen, it's tough in any one of those decisions. But if it were me and I'm running for alderman, I'd probably pick the third.
You would not pick the new second?
No, he didn't live in... unless he wants to get an apartment and move. At some point, doesn't he have to move to the second ward?
Yeah.
That could be his easiest way out because there's no entrenched opposition. This guy Hopkins, he's not an incumbent, so...
But presumably he would have good campaign resources.
You mean money?
Yeah, money and workers.
Yeah, but I think Bob Fioretti could match him on both. The problem is he'd have to move to the second, what a weird ward, by the way. It's talk about cynicism. The creation of the second ward, it was essentially a creation intended to punish Bob Fioretti and put him in the very predicament that he's in. So ultimately, my advice to Bob Fioretti is run for mayor.
Let's talk about that mayoral election, dates and deadlines. The municipal election takes place on February 24th, 2015. That includes election for mayor, alderman, and other citywide positions such as city clerk. Candidates must submit nominating petitions in November. The Chicago Board of Elections expects candidates to begin circulating those petitions next month in August. According to the board, candidates for aldermen need only 473 valid signatures to get on a ballot. Ben, in a contested ward, how many signatures minimum do you think a candidate needs to survive a signature challenge? Maybe we should describe a signature challenge.
Yeah, okay. First of all, only. What a funny use of a word, only. 473 signatures may be really hard to get, or harder to get than you realize, particularly when they're being scrutinized. As we've discussed before, this is for our rookie listeners.
Harder to end up with, not hard to get.
That is correct, Senator.
So the assumption here is you need more than that because many are going to be challenged by opponents and get knocked off of your petition.
As we've discussed before, there's a very rigorous challenge process. So let's say candidate Glowatz wants to run against an entrenched incumbent like Ed Burke in the 14th Ward. So you need 473. You gather 1,000. Ed Burke will have his attorneys scrutinizing your signatures, and then they will move to strike signatures for not conforming to the various rules and regulations that govern this process. Maybe they were printed. They weren't signed. Maybe the signature doesn't match the signature on the person's original voter card. Maybe there's a contestant that the person doesn't live there. Burke and his lawyers are capable of tying up the candidate Glowatz in hearings for days, draining you of energy, time, money.
So how much cushion should I have then?
Well, in my humble opinion, you should probably come in with well over 1,000. They should be scrutinized by an election lawyer whose expertise is this very venue.
Sort of a pre-challenge scrub.
Yes. Your lawyer should scrub them so that they're absolutely certain that you can
survive a challenge.
Then they still may challenge you, okay? So then you have to have money to have your lawyer fight out that challenge. Look, I remember Manny Flores, gosh, what year was this? 2003.
Former First Ward Alderman.
Former First Ward Alderman. He was fighting to stay on the ballot up until it was very close to the election when he finally prevailed. And then he made it into a runoff and won. When you're a rookie running in against an entrenched organization, you have to expect and anticipate that part of the challenge will be just making the ballot. It's called democracy in Chicago. It's intended to protect the interest of voters so that not anybody could run to represent them. God help us, we have
He's
that.
He's saying this without any trace of irony, folks.
Because the democracy we have here is so flourishing. It's
here comes
worked
the irony.
Very well. You know, I don't believe Ed Burke has had an opponent since 1969. If I'm wrong, write in, people, and tell me. No, I think one woman did manage to survive. There was a woman who ran against him a few elections ago, and God, Burke put her through hell. But my memory is that after many challenges, she ended up on the ballot. But I could be wrong on that. Send us the correction, listeners.
Mayoral candidates, likewise, need 12,500 signatures.
God.
Again, how many signatures minimum would you suggest a challenger to Mayor Emanuel have?
Okay, this is an interesting point. You only need all these extra signatures if someone's going to challenge you. It's questionable whether it's Mayor Rahm's best interest to challenge people. For instance, presumably, if Karen Lewis or Tony Preckwinkle or Bob Fioretti run, they're going to be able to hire savvy election lawyers who know the game. And as difficult as 12,500 is, it's an absurdly high number. Used to be, what was it? It's down. It was a lawsuit to challenge it during the Daley years. I think it was over 20. I think they halved it from 25. Anyway, it's an absurdly high number, but it's doable if you have pros running the operation, so to speak. And presumably, Fioretti, Karen Lewis, Tony Preckwinkle will have those pros.
So again, how much cushion?
What if he doesn't challenge you? You don't need the cushion.
But you can't know that going into it.
No, you can't. That's true. I don't believe it's in Rahm's best interest. I'm thinking this through as I say it. I mean, what is he going to challenge the signatures of absolutely everybody he runs against? So he runs against no one? Well, that's possible. What a flourishing democracy that would be. But anyway, to answer your question, I don't know, 20 grand, 20,000? You know, if they're going to challenge you, they're going to go after every signature. I remember our mutual friend, the great Green Bay Packer fan, Kevin Lamb, when he ran against
state rep
many years ago against John Fritchie. Right? Damn, man, you're like reading my mind. What are you, Gordon Lightfoot?
I won my precinct for him.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you remember he was challenged by Fritchie, and they even challenged his wife's signature and his signature. I mean, it was just this preposterous counter-assault. And give Kevin credit. He survived. He lost the election, but he survived the challenge. So they can make life very difficult for you. So if Mayor Rahm decided that it was his best interest to challenge everybody, you would need more than 12,500. That's for sure. How many are? I don't know. 4,000, 5,000. It depends. It depends how good your operation is. I would be very surprised, like Tony Preckwinkle. She would have some of the smartest. She would have Joe Berrios's crowd. She's allies with Joe Berrios. His people are like the masters of this process.
It's fun to contemplate.
Yeah. Ah, oh, come on. Berrios and Preckwinkle.
It would be like Star Wars.
It would be like Star Wars.
I think.
For the record, I want to apologize to Mr. Glowatz. Last week, I said he was a Star Wars fan. In fact, he's a Star Trek fan. I'm getting my stars mixed up.
There's so many stars. Speaking of far-out concepts, you and Mick write, quote, "The central question is whether Daley, Emanuel, or whoever comes next would rule differently if re-election weren't a given," end quote. You don't answer that question, Ben, but I wonder if you might speculate on the effect on the Emanuel administration if, say, Karen Lewis suddenly came up with $15 million in campaign funding tomorrow.
Well, we've seen it to a degree. Again, this is my favorite theme. Chicago is probably one of the most liberal cities in America, 80% year after year for presidential candidates. And we have a right-of-center mayor, in my opinion, at least right-of-center in terms of the Democratic Party, and we're a Democratic city. So what we've seen in the last few months is inching by Mayor Rahm, inching toward the left. His minimum wage proposal, which I'll probably be writing about, where he's calling for raising the minimum wage. You're smiling. People can't see the irony embedded in that smile.
The non-proposal?
Yeah, the non. We're going to raise the minimum wage after we wait and see what the state does.
2018? Is that
yeah,
the
2018.
Suggested implementation?
One of these days, it's going to get up there. So that's an attempt, and immediately sent out a press release from his campaign headquarters with a found some low-wage worker willing to put her name on this press release. That must have been a tough find. And thanking the mayor for for promising to raise her, well, not quite promising, almost promising to raise her salary to $13 an hour in 5 years.
In the future, yeah.
Yeah. But that constitutes a drastic move to the left for Mayor Rahm.
Relatively speaking.
He's like Karl Marx.
Rahm, Karl Marx, Emmanuel.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
So this is what passes for political compromise in the city of Chicago. We're moving to the left. That ought to take care of those goddamn liberals.
Centimeters.
Yeah. So what else? What else has he moved to? I remember my dear friend and Alderman Amaya Pouar predicting to me that Mayor Rahm would be moving to the left as we came closer to the campaign. So I'm looking for examples of it.
You have to have like a slow motion camera, like time lapse photography to see that motion. It's like paranormal researchers, you know? They show that object moved. If you study it for a month, it moved.
I think grass grows faster than Mayor Rahm moving to the left. Dave, my mind is suddenly drawing a blank. Help me, Rhonda. What else has he moved to the left on in anticipation of the coming election? He fired 500 teachers. Well, that's not quite moving to the left. What else has he moved to the left on? He must have done something. We're drawing blanks. Folks, I wish you could see Dave's face as he really is thinking hard what the mayor has moved to the left on.
Okay, so there's a new fire department
contract. Yes, there we go. That's kind of left, you know, paying your firefighters finally, giving them their...
Well, evidently, they got pretty much what they wanted.
Yeah, I guess that's a relative term. I don't think they're getting what they wanted so much as they're getting the best they could ask for or expect. Maybe a different way of, I mean, everybody wants more than they
get. Maybe what they expected to end up with.
Right, yeah. The second fight in that will be the pension fight. But the first prong is, yes, he settled. So I guess that constitutes moving to the left, I suppose.
I'm reaching here, man.
Yeah, I know. He hasn't still settled with the police. That's a whole other issue for another time. And, of course, there's the teachers. He hasn't continually, his relentless war against union teachers. So... I'm doing my best to say Rahm's moving to the left. Oh, he's bringing the Whole Foods to Englewood. Does that not constitute moving to the left?
Yeah. Good luck with that one.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying. I'm really trying. Whatever. The minimum wage thing was his effort, I guess, to move to the left. If we want to change the way Chicago government operates, the way it has operated for the last 20 years, the citizens of Chicago have to elect a new mayor. There's no getting around it. Now, that's not a guarantee that the new mayor will act any differently than the old mayor, but you have no chance to change the way things go unless you show political muscle. If the voters continue to approve the way things happen in Chicago, then why would any mayor change? What accountability? All he has to do is put up with my columns, your commentary. You know, that's not hard to put up with.
So bottom line, Ben, is you can't hope unless we have change.
Wow, can I get that on a t-shirt? Wait, was that in a Star Wars? You can't hope unless you have change. Well, you can hope for change. You can change hope.
That's all we have time for. Ben, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Senator.
Listeners, we welcome your questions and comments. If you want to send those via email, get to us at contact@shygov.com. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.